I want to begin by expressing a welcome to those who have come as visitors to St. Matthew's to join us in the celebration of the Easter feast. You're very welcome. Your prayer and your faith enrich this parish. You are always welcome here, and you're welcome to bring your children as well. I've learned over the years how to tune them out, so they really don't bother me at all. There's a figure in the gospel story today, a very remarkable figure. He does not appear in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and he does not appear in the first half of the gospel according to John. He appears only at the end, and he appears six times, and for 2,000 years, people have wondered who he is. During the story of the passion and the death and the resurrection of the Lord, John talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's given no name. In five of the six appearances, he is always with Peter. He is a partner to Peter. He's present at the Last Supper. He's present on the Sea of Galilee. He's present in today's gospel story, going with Peter to the open tomb. He appears once alone, and that is, he's the only one of the disciples who stands under the cross of Jesus. From the very beginning, the church has come to believe that this person, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is to be an example of who the true disciple is, and is there for you and for me to help us understand the very heart of being a follower of Jesus. There are some who have said he's a fictitious figure, he's just a symbol of discipleship. There's a whole other school of thought that says it's really Lazarus. And there's a further school of thought that says, no, he is the young man, John Mark. I would suggest to you that there's another way of understanding him. We're told in St. John's Gospel that as Jesus hung upon the cross, in addition to this disciple, there were four women who stood underneath the cross. His mother, his mother's, her sister, Mary of Clophis, and Mary Magdalene. In St. Matthew, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is not mentioned, but the mother of the sons of Zebedee is. And in St. Mark's Gospel, a woman by the name of Salome is mentioned. Salome is the blood sister to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Salome is married to Zebedee, the father of James and John. And I would suggest that the beloved disciple is really John, the first cousin to Jesus, the nephew to Mary, the mother of the Lord. And that his discipleship is rooted in the fact of his deep attachment and love for Jesus, as Jesus was deeply attached and loved John. That the very heart of discipleship is found in the relationship between the Lord and each one of us. And that faith is not so much a thing of the mind as it is a reality of the heart. We're told in the gospel story that John, the beloved disciple, outruns Peter and arrives at the tomb first, looks in but does not enter. And later Peter arrives and Peter enters and he sees the linen cloth on the ground and the napkin that covered Jesus' face. And then we're told that the beloved disciple enters and he sees and he believes. We're not told that Peter saw and believed yet, but this disciple saw and he believed. And remember, in St. John's Gospel, to see is to believe. The Greeks come to Philip and to Andrew and say, "We want to see Jesus." And what they mean is, we want to put faith in Jesus. We want to believe in Jesus. The beloved disciple saw and he believed. He saw with his heart, not with his eyes. And he saw because of a relationship with Jesus. And that's what every single one of us is called to. And that's really what is at the heart of this feast, is that in the death and resurrection of the Lord, you and I are invited into a very particular relationship with the Lord. That as a result of the death and resurrection of the Lord, you and I receive the gift of God's life. First poured out on us in the waters of baptism, and nurtured week in and week out at the table of the Eucharist. We are called as disciples, and we are called to proclaim the ultimate truth, that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, all of creation is reunited, is reconciled with God. And because of our relationship with the Lord, we can, by the words we speak and the deeds we do, proclaim that to all the world. And so in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear that first proclamation to the community in Jerusalem after the coming of the Holy Spirit, that in Jesus Christ, in his death and rising, you and I are made new, and we are drawn ever deeper into that very mystery of Christ. Well, as we celebrate this feast, as we come as disciples of the Lord, it would be terribly important for us to remember the moment in which that relationship with the Lord was first established, was first created for each of us. And that was in the waters of baptism. For we're told in that first reading that if we have died with Christ in baptism, then truly we are destined to rise with him in glory. And so, I invite you to join with me as today we renew the faith of our baptism, the belief by which we are drawn into the mystery of Christ. Please stand. I ask you, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and buried, raised to life on the third day, and seated at the right hand of God?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?
I do.